This is Curly Fries and Other Little Obscenities, a Teen Wolf, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate SG-1 crossover fic, written by Talia Hale and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G, contains the pairings Laura Cadman, Aiden Ford, and Rodney McKay, John Shepherd, with additional tags for Community, Into a Bar, Crossover, Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Canon Character of Color, Walk Into a Bar, only if the commissary not a bar, Ford Deserves Happiness, Queer Gen, First Meetings, Future Fic, Scientist Styles. This is the first story in the Navigation Love Songs for 21st Century Cartographers series. Author's Notes. Thanks to my Mephis for all the encouragement. Written for A Ficathon Walks Into a Bar. My prompt? Styles Stilinski walked into a bar and meets Aiden Ford. Unfortunately, there is no actual bar in this story. Aiden's storyline diverges from SGA canon pre-series. His grandmother fell ill, and he never joined the original expedition. He's a team leader at the SGC, and his life has been all puppies and rainbows and Cadman, instead of Wraith enzyme-induced psychosis and life on the lam. You lost, son? Styles spins on one sneakered foot, flailing when he sees the officer standing behind him. The man's wearing rumpled BDUs bearing the SG-16 insignia, and his neatly laced boots are mottled with mauve mud. The name patch on his jacket reads, Major A. Ford. He's got a crooked smile, kind brown eyes, and a head full of close-cropped gray curls. You have no idea, Styles mumbles. This has been the longest week of Styles Stilinski's adult life. If you'd told him that a week ago, Styles would have laughed. He would have laughed long and hard, then raised a hand to list. Dissertation defense, college finals, his dad's wedding, and best friend gets bitten by a homicidal rogue alpha werewolf. That was all pretty exhausting. But now he's looking at secret government operations, wormhole travel, and evil aliens. No, seriously. Evil aliens! Like he's stumbled into an episode of Farscape after a decade of Buffy. The sheriff thinks Styles landed a job consulting with the Department of Foreign Languages at the Air Force Academy. In actuality, he's undergoing orientation and training at a top-secret military installation beneath Cheyenne Mountain. It's his first job out of school, and he's working at a secret base full of alien artifacts and technology, the best and the brightest mostly humans from around the galaxy, and more firepower than he's seen outside of the Argent's basement. And this place is huge! He got turned around somewhere between Dr. Jackson's office on level 12 and where he thought the commissary was on level 7. Until Major Ford found him, Styles thought he was going to starve before he saw another living soul. You okay there, kid? Major Ford's grin widens when Styles snaps back to attention. Just dandy, Major. Styles grins back. But it's my first week on the job, and I've already gotten lost 3 times. Only 3? You're doing just fine, Mr. Major Ford extends a hand. Stilinski, Styles supplies, shaking the offered hand. Well, it's Dr. Stilinski technically, but that's pretty new. Plus, it makes me feel old. And nobody warned me, but if you tell people you're a doctor, they start to tell you about their physical maladies. Not that that's not interesting, obviously, but I'm an anthropologist and linguist, not an MD, so you can call me Styles, sir. He finishes. When I'm off duty, it's just Ford, not Sir Styles. Welcome to the SGC. Can I point you in the right direction? I'm about to pass out from hunger and lack of caffeine, so any help finding food would be great. You'll be blending in with the science stuff in no time. Ford laughs and points behind Styles. Two doors that way if you want the commissary. Right. Well. Styles fiddles with the drawstrings of his Batman hoodie, trying and failing to align their lengths. That's not embarrassing or anything. Ford smiles, that crooked grin again, and Styles has a flashback to the rueful looks Danny would give him after patrols their senior year. That look, says Styles, is an adorably lost puppy in need of direction. Mind if I join you? Just wrapped up a 4-hour debrief and wouldn't mind some grub myself. That'd be great. Styles waves Ford ahead, following him into the commissary, which is half full despite the late hour. There's a fair mix of white coats and uniforms, chatting over trays and stacks of official-looking documents. Any recommendations? He asks when they reach the counter. The curly fries are usually a safe bet. Ford nods at the chafing dish, helping himself to a small portion of golden fried deliciousness before filling the rest of his plate with steamed veggies and grilled chicken. They have curly fries? Maybe this place isn't so terrible. Styles begins heaping fries onto his plate before realizing what he said. Not that I think it's terrible, obviously. New places are always an adjustment. I mean, a secret military base underneath a mountain is a bit of a culture shock after Stanford. Uh-huh. Ford shakes his head, heading towards an occupied table. At one end sits a balding man in an expensive-looking, if slightly disheveled, charcoal suit. He's seated across from an Air Force officer with salt-and-pepper hair that seems to be defying both regulation and the laws of physics, in crisply starched dress blues. Looking sharp, sir, Ford nods, taking a seat next to the general. That gets an eye roll out of the other officer, a Brigadier General J. Shepard. I never have to deal with a dress uniform at home. I hate digging this thing out of the closet, General Shepard drawls. He tugs at a stiff sleeve while Styles settles into the seat across from Ford, and next to the suited man. Styles' neighbor is shoveling down reconstituted mashed potatoes like they're his last meal on Earth. Considering where they're sitting, it might be. Obviously Shepard's tiring of the legions of fawning fans in his old age. The suited man stabs his meatloaf with more force than seems strictly necessary. Sure, Dr. McKay. Ford grins around a mouthful of carrots. Found you a Stanford man wandering the hallways, General. No kidding. Shepard turns sharp green eyes on Styles, who freezes with a mouthful of curly fries. John Shepard, class of 92. He extends a calloused hand across the table. Styles gulps and nearly chokes before shaking Shepard's hand. Styles Stilinski, I finished my undergrad in 19. My defense was 2 weeks ago. All this, he gestures around the room, is a little different from the postdoc I was planning at Berkeley. Field of study? Dr. McKay asks. He has the brusque air of a man used to prompt, if generally disappointing, answers. Linguistics and anthropology. McKay snorts in derision, then grunts in pain when Shepard kicks him under the table. Ford ignores the entire display, as if senior staff squabbling like schoolchildren is par for the course. He squirts a wide pool of ketchup onto his plate, earning a squawk from McKay when the condiment splatters. Be nice, Rodney. You're working with Dr. Jackson, then? Shepard asks. Dr. Jackson's my direct supervisor, but he's having me cross-train with General Carter's staff. Why would Sam want another anthropologist? McKay asks, sounding more appalled than genuinely interested. Probably something to do with the undergraduate degree in mathematics and the dual masters in aeronautical engineering and applied physics. Stiles shrugs, shoving a handful of curly fries in his mouth to keep from laughing in McKay's purpling face. Why the hell did you switch? Ford tilts his head to one side and studies Stiles intently enough to set him squirming. Stiles blushes, scratching at the back of his neck. Honestly, I didn't think it would make sense to continue when there wasn't an active space program anymore, Stiles admits. All three men stare at him for a long moment before bursting into laughter. Stiles smiles sheepishly, ducking his head and taking a sip of soda. You're very lucky to be working with Carter, McKay says, polishing off his potatoes with a wistful sigh. Not that she'll ever believe you if you tell her I said that, he adds with a broad wave of his spoon. And Dr. Jackson's not entirely incompetent. That's as close to complimentary as he gets with the soft sciences, I'm afraid. Shepard shakes his head, reaching across the table to pat McKay's hand. He snags McKay's empty tray, stacking the dirty dishes with his own before standing. Best of luck, Dr. Stilinski. Look us up if you're ever in the Pegasus Galaxy. He grins at Stiles. Ford, all our best to Laura and the kids. She says the doc owes her $20, and he'll know why, Ford says, eyes flicking to McKay. McKay stands with an indignant huff, shuffling until he's brushing shoulders with Shepard. You tell her, he begins, before Shepard catches his eye and raises a judgmental brow. Tell her she still owed me 20 for the over-under on Zelenka's pigeons, so now we're even. Come on, Rodney. You've got a cottage at the Broadmoor, and the 500-count sheets are calling my name. Shepard heads for the waste station with the trays. Yes, yes, you just gotta find your lackey in the motor pool and we can go. Ford, Stilinski. McKay nods, following Shepard out of the commissary. Was that... Did they travel to another galaxy for a vacation? Ford nods, shoveling down another forkful of veggies. Have you met Dr. Madison Miller? Stiles nods. His first day, Stiles met a baby-faced blonde with serious blue eyes and a knack for shouting down Marines while working magic with a wrench. She reminds him a lot of Lydia, actually. Well, if Lydia would deign to wear coveralls and a slightly charred bandana over her hair. She's the doc's niece. They were in town for her wedding. Stiles mouths, in town, and tries to wrap his head around all this. Huh. And he may have only been here for a week, but he's read the few unclassified, and frankly, mind-blowing, publications by M. Rodney McKay, Ph.D., Ph.D. Plus, the man's a program legend, so... Holy shit. I just met Dr. McKay, and there was no yelling. Yeah. Ford laughs at the shell-shocked expression on Stiles' face. I thank God and Grandma Agnes every day I didn't go with the original expedition. Admittedly, there's less yelling now. He's mellowed with age. That was mellow? Oh, yeah. Ford smiles, setting his fork next to his empty plate. I spent a couple months on a TDA to Atlantis when Carter and McKay first got the gate breach up and running. That's when McKay set me up with my wife, actually. Anyway.
He waves a dismissive hand.
Back then, I wouldn't have been surprised if he told me Doc had an aneurysm from dealing with incompetent minions.
He and the general started meditating after McKay's blood pressure got out of control a few years back. Seems to do a surprising amount of good. I guess Tilk taught him a few Kilnareem tricks.
I understood nothing about what you just said, Styles says, shrugging out of his hoodie.
But I just met one of my academic heroes. Also, I'm eating curly fries, and I didn't blow up anything in any of the labs. I'm declaring today a success.
You have a low bar for success, kid.
Ford eyes the patchwork of scars running up Styles' bared forearms.
Got a penchant for trouble? More for getting out of it, actually.
Styles takes a long pull on his Mountain Dew.
My hometown's not the safest place, and I'm not a fan of bullies.
I can respect that. Have they got you enrolled in any weapons training?
Test it out. Styles shakes his head.
Ford looks pleasantly surprised.
Of everything?
Everything except the weird snake guns and a couple of the blue glowy thingies.
Hand to hand?
All set. You guys sort of overtrain the science staff, considering we're snugly tucked under a literal mountain of protection.
We have a tendency to recruit civilians and send them into the field where anything can happen.
So the weapons training's preparation for occupational hazards?
Styles laughs.
Good to know.
You interested in joining an SG team?
Ford tilts his head to the side, leaning back in his chair.
Are you kidding? Of course! But Dr. Lee said not to expect off-world opportunities to come up much in my field of expertise. I can bide my time.
How does next week sound?
Styles splutters,
sending a spray of yellow soda across the remains of his dinner.
I'm sorry,
he manages through a fit of coughing.
The debrief I just got out of. My cultural expert is going to be on medical leave with a broken ankle. I've got a vital mission negotiating with some medical researchers that joined the colony on P4X650. Rescheduling isn't really an option. If I get the go-ahead from Dr. Jackson, are you interested?
Am I? Yeah. I mean, yes, that would be... Yes, sir. I'm interested.
Great. Report to level 14 at 0700 Monday morning. I'll get you signed into the range designated for alien weaponry training.
Ford stands, lifting his tray.
And maybe wear some shoes with a little more grip, kid.
Styles watches, mouth agape, as Ford deposits his tray and exits the commissary. He slumps in his chair, idly twirling a curly fry as he considers the events of the day.
When Styles thinks about it, this isn't nearly as strange as...
There's an alien weaponry training facility on level 14?
The end. Can't you see? Little girl got a hold on me like glue. Baby, I'm howling for you. Yeah. Throw the ball to the stick. Swing and miss and the catcher's mitt strike too. Baby, I'm howling for you. Reader's notes. I had to stop recording 6 times so far just to clap my feet together. I love this universe so much, it makes me so happy. Don't forget to check out parts 2 and 3 of this series, Navigation, Love Songs for 21st Century Cartographers. And find out more about the adventures of Teen Wolf SGA SG-1 crossover awesome sauce. The cover art for this podfic was designed by the incredibly amazing Green Iron, who just, above and beyond anything I could have imagined, wee baby Styles with his "this is my very serious" face and Ford looking on so paternally. Oh, I love it. So don't forget to leave some awesome feedback for Green Iron in this amazing cover art. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.